Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
Europe and Asia have benefited from our protection for decades, but the time for free riding is over. America and the free world deserve allies who are capable, who are loyal, and who understand that being an ally is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. We are not counting on Europe, but they need the Strait of Hormuz much more than we do, and might want to start doing less talking and having less fancy conferences in Europe and getting a boat.
Of course, you know who that dig was at. You know who that dig was directed towards. And getting a boat. Talking about some of these other European nations, particularly Britain. Remember, they had to send their HMS Dragon back to get repairs after they had nothing in the area, nothing in the Mediterranean. And they were getting ready to, well, they had already lied prostrate on the floor in front of Iran saying, please don't hurt us, etc., because they denied us use of Cyprus. And so we said, okay, fine, we won't use Cyprus. And then they ended up getting droned anyway, and then they had to send a HMS Dragon in because that was the only one that they actually had. And then even from there, it was crazy because it had to go back for repairs. I mean, he's right here. He's right. All I know is that I think you can deduce the true nature of things because of that King Charles. He's still coming to visit. I'm gonna boil it all down to that. That King Charles is still coming to visit. And remember, all of Europe have been trying to pressure to make that not happen. And they didn't want it to happen because, you know, they wanted to have that optic. And they're not getting it. So very interesting. Welcome to the show. It was Secwar Hegseth there who is explaining, you know, the nation's position here. We got a number of things to get you just set up for as we roll into this weekend. TGIF, I know you feel it. I think we all feel it with this news cycle for sure. But we're going to get into all the latest with Iran because, I mean, I really do think the administration was really good with getting out there and I don't want to say spiking the ball, but yeah, kind of spiking the ball. They were really good with this. And then I think they stopped for a little bit. They stopped updating. This is cut two, though. So this was POTUS talking about how Netanyahu and President Lebanon, they should come in and meet in the Oval Office. I feel like that's going to happen. Listen to this.
When do you think our president will meet Netanyahu here at the White House?
I think we'll do it over the next, during this period of time, during the three-week period, ideally. I mean, I'd like to suggest over the 3 weeks ceasefire, if you can do that. Well, we're here. We'll do it in the Oval Office.
And regarding Hezbollah, he's not responding to our government. He's doing whatever he wants. What do you say for Hezbollah?
Well, look, Israel has to, I mean, we're just talking about it. Israel is going to have to defend itself if they're shot at, and they will. I would never say that they can't. It would be nice if they wouldn't have to bother with that. But if something happens, they're going to have to defend themselves, as you know. But they're going to do it carefully, and they're going to be surgical as opposed to beyond surgical. And, you know, there's a lot they can do. But Israel is going to have to defend itself.
And he's right. I mean, he's completely right with that. But I think that would be great. Now, remember, I like how Lebanon came out and corrected everything when you had Iran and the regime trying to insist that somehow they were party to this negotiation, the ceasefire, remember, because they really wanted Hezbollah to be able to do whatever they wanted Hezbollah to do. They would be able to act like, you know, absolute thugs on behalf of Iran without any expectation of ceasing. And that's really, you know, part of the big problem with that. Lebanon can't even handle Hezbollah. By the way, this is what happens when you bring all these people in from Gaza and you have zero acclimation. And furthermore, you're talking about generations of people who think that they're in a holy war, so that makes it entirely different. But this is the problem. So Hezbollah, they're trying to put a leash on Hezbollah. Iran won't do it, but they're trying to protect them. That's not going to happen. And I don't think POTUS would let it happen. And I think him boxing out Pakistan from all of that and Lebanon doing it as well, which you remember the press was trying to pretend that statement, that none of that happened. But still, I thought that was a smart move. So let's get you set up. Let's get you, because we've got, oh gosh, we got to get in with the latest of the SAVE Act. We're just going to get you in across the threshold for this Friday. So the ceasefire, some people are saying it's wavering. It's not. Look, it's all about Tehran. Everything is about Tehran. How is the regime going to act? What are they going to agree? I mean, this, again, remember the battle that they're playing. It's not a traditional war of attrition, but in a way it kind of is a war of attrition, because they're wanting to wear down support for the United States. But however long they can make this happen, that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to wear all of the support down. And they've been, by the way, they've been just absolutely cheering for the regime, which is insane. But that's what they've been doing, cheering for the regime. So in addition to this, let's look a little bit domestically. I thought this was a significant story. It's Islamism, right? The FBI apparently thwarted a potential terror plot directed at a Texas synagogue. This is something that Kash Patel had announced in saying that this was a woman in Lexington. She was going to murder congregants at a Texas synagogue. They worked with Charlotte and Houston FBI bureaus, and it was a Lexington, North Carolina woman who was going to try to carry out this mass casualty event in Houston. She's facing multiple charges. Angela Hicks, 18 years old. 18 years old. Her life is over now. She was a part of this plot to attack Houston's congregation, Beth Israel. And they arrested her in Harris County. It's getting towards Austin. They said that they arrested her. Houston Chronicle, a second person was blah, blah, blah with her, was arrested in North Carolina on felony charges. I'm just trying to get over the 18 years old. A teenager. They got a tip that somebody was planning this event. So thankfully, somebody tipped off the FBI. Isn't it the Southern Poverty Law Center's job to know this stuff, by the way? We were talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center this week. They were paying out millions of dollars for people to agitate. Oh, I mean informants. And here you have the FBI that is thwarting hate, and Southern Poverty Law Center is not. Now, I mean, it was going to be planned for several days ago. They were planning it. They were gonna carry out, like, apparently a minor incursion or something. I don't know what that means in this context. I mean, they're 18. But then they were also planning a large attack for April 21st of 28. And so I know that the investigation is ongoing. They said it's three states, federal governments involved. The 18-year-old, that's not a teenager. That's a legal adult. So this is an adult. And yeah, that is at 18 at that point, that's an adult. Now, the father was defending the daughter, saying she could not have been involved in this alleged plot. She's involved in a fantasy internet game, and that's why she thinks the way she does. That's so garbage. I'm so tired of people blaming games for this stuff. He says they're fabricated, over the top. Doesn't sound like it, though. 18 years old. I mean, how, if you're involved in an internet fantasy game, what she was planning was quite specific. You're actually targeting a synagogue. And by the way, that is a similar synagogue, Beth Israel, that was down the street from us a couple of years ago. That terror attack, down the street from our studio, same Beth Israel congregation. That to me is too oddly specific. And for him to blame it on like a video game. It sounds like, how did your kid learn about this stuff? 18 years old. And he said they just want to get paid because she's no threat to anyone, as though there is some kind of plot that people are making money on to indict an 18-year-old rando for a terror attack, a planned terror attack. You can kind of see how she's the way she is because of the father. 18 years old, though. I don't know. I wasn't actually surprised. I mean, I was surprised that the suspect was 18, but I actually wasn't, because there's that generation. I'm telling you, that's something we have to talk about. Also, New York Post. Do you know what micro-looting means? Because it's apparently a new word. Micro-looting. There is a staff writer at the New Yorker. Of course, it's the New Yorker. It's an absolutely trash publication. The New Yorker, where they're known for, this longtime staffer, known for bashing capitalism, bragged that she has stolen from her local Whole Foods on several occasions. She was on a podcast for the New York Times. Gia Tolentino made the admission after joining the left's favorite terrorist, Hassan Piker, and then another New York Times person. They were calling micro-looting from mega corporations. So they would do things like share passwords for streaming services and, you know, all kinds of stuff. They would, those were some of the examples that they gave. They also said, you know, even taking paintings from the Louvre, as though somehow it's kind of justified. She said that she stole from Whole Foods, like, repeatedly. I mean, this is a wealthy woman who writes for the New Yorker and doesn't, I mean, if you're shopping at Whole Foods anyway, come on, that's like a whole paycheck. She was taught, I mean, then they tried to describe it as micro looting, but there is this huge mentality on the left where things like the healthcare CEO who was shot to death in the middle of Manhattan, that's justified because people objected to his job. Or this is okay because Whole Foods is a big company and, you know, they're a big company. And by nature of just being a large company, that is a sin. And therefore, our sin is not counted against us because that's justice. That's the left's version of justice, by the way. We're just going to exclude the fact that we're not going to call it a sin. We're going to call it justice. That makes it holier and somewhat more virtuous, right? This is the mentality of the left. I have another story that dovetails into this that we'll share later. Also on the way, speaking of that Democrats' favorite terrorist, Hassan Piker is all over their fundraisers. He is all over their podcasts. And waiting, I mean, some of the vile things that this guy has said. This is who the party is. They're trying to tell you that they're like a moderate while blacklisting their moderates. But this is who they really are. We're going to dive into some of this. We have a lot to get into. Can't do it without our partners. We're capitalists, our friends over at Ghost Bed. This is, oh my gosh, the most comfortable mattress possible. And I notice the difference, like when I work out and I'm really sore that day, especially if it's leg day, good heavens. And then I lay down on my mattress, my old mattress. I just could not get comfortable at all. It was horrible. I am so much more rested and recovered the next morning. And I notice it again after last leg day. I just was so much more comfortable and I rested so much more than I did previously. That's what your mattress is supposed to do. And that's how Ghost Bed builds mattresses. They build engineered sleep systems that function like a piece of health equipment, because that's really what it is. It's designed for relief and recovery, not just for floofy looks and to put pillows on, right? Your body should be healing while you sleep, should be recovering, resting, not fighting all night long to get comfortable. And you will notice the difference right away. You're going to notice it before you even sleep on it, because it's just constructed better. But it's also less tension, better temperature, no more waking up. So if these are all problems that you deal with, you know, sleeping hot, tossing and turning, that's not, you know, either because you really are sore from the gym or because you're getting older. That could be your mattress. So switch to Ghost Bed. You get 101 nights to try it at home. And if you don't feel the difference, you can send it back risk-free. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana. They're offering all of my audience out there their lowest prices of the season, plus an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org. Grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So yesterday, Trump reclassified state-licensed medical marijuana basically lessened the category defining danger. Let's just put it in layman's terms. It was cited by Todd Blanche. It went from Schedule 1, now going to Schedule 3, which is less strictly regulated. And it gives medical operators a tax break. You just got to watch in case medical operators decide that they want to create a monopoly and try to control all the licensing in a state. Because in some instances, that could even be worse than how it was before it was declassified. So they said they were also jump-starting the process for reclassifying it more broadly. There's going to be a hearing that begins in late June on that. Also, an inmate... Oh, this is horrible. This is one of the... Oh, gosh, this story. An inmate was accused of trying to smuggle fentanyl in his backside, his prison wallet. And then, if that's not enough, he tried to swallow it after. Oh, my gosh. Do we really want the story? Is that enough? My mouth is going to get numb. That's so disgusting. Well, this is in Washington State, in Olympia. An inmate in Thurston County Jail is facing additional charges on top of those that he was initially brought in for. They said he was booked for domestic violence and was being escorted through the facility when a corrections sergeant saw him making movements with his hands towards the back of his pants. They intervened and they found a small amount of fentanyl that he was, you know, putting in the prison wallet. They fought over control of the drugs, and then he tried to eat the drugs, but he was stopped from doing so. So he was then booked for possessing they added controlled substance in a correctional facility. And oh my gosh, that would have killed him though. And then, I mean, I've read stories where there have been officers that accidentally touched something when they do a bust and it's fentanyl and someone tries this. There was a story of an officer who just by way of touching the substance, it absorbs it into the skin, and they ended up having to, what's that pen that they stab them with? It was like the Narc pen or something. What is that called, Steve? Do you know what it's called? Yeah, Narcan. Thank you, Juan. The Narcan. And she had to be like revived right there because of that. That's crazy. So that's really dangerous for them. Now, you know why they all wear gloves all the time, which they used to not. That was something that, you know, that's like what, 80s, 90s when that was introduced, maybe 90s as a policy. We have a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss some crazy New York stuff, progressivism. We just got all of it. Stick with us as we move. The folks who help make the program possible. It is our friends over at Relief Factor. With Relief Factor, if you're dealing with everyday aches and pains, that's not something you have to endure. Relief Factor can really be a life changer, a game changer for you. And they make it really easy with their 3-week quick start. See, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free, research-backed formula that's designed to fight inflammation, which is the root cause of most pain. It's not a temporary fix. It works from the inside out to support your body's natural response to pain. And it helps you get back to, you know, just moving and working out and doing all the things that you want to do. My husband takes it because he's has old knee injuries from sports. But it gets you all back to living life without constant discomfort. And you can try it today. I mean, it's so easy. 3-week quick start plan. And you can get it for $19.95. Visit relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs, no question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The Blue Square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Yep, I absolutely would. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. A number of stories to get you set up with, including one that Steve really does not want me to talk about or mention. Doesn't have to do with aliens, although it could. Just saying. See, it makes you more interested, doesn't it? So we are going to come back to that. Kane's not here. Steve is in D.C. And Juan would have to run around like a table and a light. So there's like nobody here to stop me. So let that make you feel really good. It's Friday. Make sure you go find us. Find the podcast if you missed anything prior. You can also go sign up over at Substack as well. Chapter and verse, all kinds of good things that come out of there on the regular. In the meantime, where to start? Because there's a few other things. It's been kind of this last week has been sort of slow. Although, you know, which is good, because if you had anything horrific happening with Iran, that you know, the left, they've been trying to turn it into some kind of quagmire boogaloo. It would be a band name. They've been trying to turn it into some quagmire boogaloo, but it's not. I mean, that's not. So the ceasefire expires this weekend. That's when everything, you know, it expires. And so once again, you're going to have Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. They're going to travel to Pakistan soon for talks with Iran's foreign minister. This is what was said to Reuters on Friday. And Vance is not going. Feels like, I don't know, what Vance is, I think he's very situationally deployed in these things, which is, that's another analysis for another day. But they're going to be there if the regime decides that they're going to be on standby, basically, in case here in the 11th hour, the regime decides, well, we don't want to get blown to smithereens, so maybe we should go ahead and make a deal. But it doesn't seem like the Z-list skeksis that are running things, it doesn't really seem like they're quite interested. The New York Post had a story about this, about the senior leadership. They're coming to Pakistan, but the foreign minister, he's the guy, he's apparently leading the delegation, and it'll probably, this might be between Islamabad and Tehran only. They're supposed to meet. But the problem with this is that the foreign minister has, he doesn't, I feel like from everything that's been reported, it seems as though he believes he can just run this out as long as possible. And that Trump is, I think he believes that Trump isn't going to respond. It noted that I don't even understand why Pakistan is even involved in this as well. Why Pakistan and Tehran, or Pakistan and Iran are the ones that are going to be discussing this. They're not part of this. Pakistan, if anything, made it worse. Remember, this is the same entity that sheltered Osama bin Laden. And willingly and excitedly. So, and they already screwed up this whole process in the first place because they were the ones who decided to invoke Lebanon as part of a ceasefire because they wanted to aid Iran into protecting Hezbollah. They have Iran's interests more at heart than peace. So that's true. But it doesn't, I don't understand what the purpose of them meeting with Pakistan first to have a discussion. What is that even? It's the United States, not Pakistan, that controls the strait, and we don't take orders from Pakistan. And there are bots in the phone racks. The phone's in the racks. We don't take orders from them. And Pakistan isn't even involved in any of this. Iran hasn't retaliated against them. They haven't worked with, they're not even involved in any of this. They have good for some reason. I think they tested them with trying to mess up this negotiation, but they still apparently enjoy good relations with the United States. Not quite sure. Maybe it's because they're doing this because they feel like they owe him after Trump was brokering the peace agreement between India and Pakistan. The thing is that Iran doesn't need to ask Pakistan what steps it has to take because it knows what steps it has to take. The administration has been incredibly forthright and given them very easy to understand demands that include you must turn over all of your enriched uranium. That's it. Their foreign minister speaks a lot and likes to slow things down. But the problem is that I don't even know why he's leading the negotiation. He's the foreign minister and he doesn't actually have any power whatsoever to negotiate or advocate or push for, et cetera, any of these points. The IRGC, if you remember, the IRGC, they came out, and this was from Open Source Intel and some others, they made it out that the IRGC was kind of mocking him. They did not have support of him. They did not support him at all. So, I don't know. I think it's going to expire, and we're going to go back to military response. That's what it seems like. Now, this was a piece that came out. The IRGC publicly has opposed and overruled him a significant number of times. So, this is all performative. He's leading a delegation to Islamabad. He doesn't even, the foreign minister, doesn't have the support of the IRGC. Really is just messing things up. This is all performative. So they're just going to have Witkoff and Kushner on standby in case anything serious does present. But I'm not optimistic. I don't think so. We'll see. But the foreign minister, if he's the guy who's the highest level of power there leading this, we're not going to have anything. He hasn't delivered. And by the way, the blockade is absolutely strangling this regime. So they can't drag this out really any longer. It's somewhere around $430-something million a day that they're losing with all of this. And it's just adding up more and more and more. Now, it's been weeks. And now with this blockade of 1 week now, I mean, this is going to be catastrophic, a damage that would happen to this damage to this regime's industry that they would not be able to recover probably in one or maybe two generations. That's how bad it's kneecapping them. They're trying so badly to expand storage because that's the other thing. They don't have it doesn't matter how much they can put out. They have nowhere to put it. They were trying to reactivate. I was reading this piece from Gulf News. they were trying to reactivate a 30-year-old very large crude carrier on Karg Island because apparently their main oil hub has neared its onshore storage limit. And this vessel, which has been anchored empty for a very long time, they're repositioning it to be floating storage. And they think that they'll be able, they have 13 million barrels of spare onshore storage. That's all that remains, that's what remains at the terminal. And then they have about 1 million to 1.1 million barrels a day. So, I mean, they will run out of all storage by mid-April. Sources are saying like in 2 weeks. Well, which is now, mid-May. So they're not even going to be able to have any ways of storing anything. Time is running out. They can't sell. They can't store. They can't do anything. And we'll see. But this expires this weekend. Expires this weekend. Okay, so a couple of other things to touch on. Democrats' favorite terrorist podcaster, Hassan Piker. He has said some pretty crazy stuff. And I cannot believe that he is on so many campaign trails as possible. And he has been. This is a guy who, he's a Nepo baby. Well, he is. His uncle is Chunk Uger. So he's like a Nepo baby. And he has said some pretty deranged things where he's talked about how Hamas, he said Hamas was justified, et cetera, et cetera. He was on this New York Times podcast. And he was trying to sing the praises of Marxism. This is a guy who's gone to China and slams the United States. He was down in Cuba wearing a $700 shirt while he was handing cookies to kids if they danced for him as he recorded it for his content. He said that New York has deserved 9/11. This is a guy who, he's Mamdani if Mamdani had the courage to actually say his positions out loud. Now, the podcast that he was on, he was defending quandaries like murder. And they had a discussion about that United Healthcare executive that was shot down. This is a 50-year-old father of two, right in cold blood, right in Manhattan. And the debate, I can't even believe that there was one with this audience, but they had a debate as to whether or not that was a good thing to do because the guy did a job that these people don't like. And so a radical leftist who is now in jail, going to trial, he decided to take it upon himself and deliver vengeance. I mean, this was something else. But he was saying that he could understand it. Listen to this cut. Cut 27, social murder. Listen to this.
Engels wrote about the concept of social murder. And Brian Thompson, as the United Healthcare CEO, was engaging in a tremendous amount of social murder, the systematized forms of violence, the structural violence of poverty, the for-profit paywalled system of healthcare in this country. And the consequences of that are tremendous amounts of pain, tremendous amounts of violence, tremendous amounts of deaths. And that was a fascinating story for me because Americans are very draconian about crime and punishment. They're very black and white on this issue. And yet, because of the pervasive pain that the private healthcare system had created for the average American, I saw so many people immediately understand.
You realize how it got to be that way because of the party that you campaigned for. They created it when they federalized it, and it made it absolutely insufferably ridiculous. I mean, this guy, he's everything. He's a walking contradiction. He's a communist millionaire, right? He hates America, lives in America. He's a notorious anti-Semite, like not someone who disagrees with Israeli government policies of certain factions. No, he makes it very clear it is an identity politic position. And he says now that he can kind of understand, he can sort of see why this dude would kill a United Healthcare CEO, the executive of United Healthcare, because the executive was guilty of social murder. Well, by that logic, Hassan Piker is guilty of social murder. So you tie this in with the story that we had before headlines. The New York Times writer who admitted to stealing from Whole Foods regularly. It was micro-looting simply because she didn't like the company and felt that because it's a large company, it makes her offense, it neutralizes her offense because the entity against whom she is offending isn't likable. So whether or not a leftist likes someone is the basis as to whether or not that person deserves justice before the law. Wow. Our partners that bring you the program, the folks over at Preborn, a great organization that has been going out and saving lives. You can help them reach their goal of 1,000 life-saving ultrasounds before Mother's Day. And each one could be the moment that a heartbeat changes everything. And your generosity is what helps these women face unplanned pregnancies. And they can find hope at a Preborn Network clinic where they choose life when they hear an ultrasound, their baby's heartbeat through an ultrasound, that chance of life for that baby doubles. And you can join the mission. That ultrasound, by the way, is $28. That's it. $28, and you could save a life. They did over 80,000 lives. They did this over 80,000 times last year. And so with 140, that's 5 babies saved. And they have a goal right now of sponsoring 1,000 life-saving ultrasounds before Mother's Day. And they also stand as the gospel leader of the pro-life movement. Just last year alone, while they saved over 80,000 babies, they also brought over 10,000 women to faith, which is amazing. One heartbeat can change a life forever, and you can be part of it. Visit preborn.com/Dana or donate by dialing #250 and saying the word baby. That's preborn.com/Dana, #250, say the word baby.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, boy. TC Palm says a Florida man who is dressed as a pirate with a sword was arrested after a fire at the park. Assuming he apparently caused it. This was Martin County Sheriff's Office. They accused the guy of setting fire to the grass at the Savannah Preserve State Park. Morgan Lentz, 22, was jailed on charges including malicious land burning, criminal mischief of $1,000 or more, and resisting arrest without violence. So I'm like, how? I want to know more about the pirate costume. You know, why maybe? Why? Why would you wear a pirate? Because they don't really give a lot of He didn't really have a pirate sword. It was a samurai sword.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org. Grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
And He had apparently he had a samurai sword, and he had like pirate pants, etc. But they didn't like, they don't tell you anything about like why. I want to know why, because that's maybe he was role playing and just took it a little bit too far. I don't know. So we've got this story. We've got also a Florida man was he's gone missing after walking into California woods, leaving his phone and his dog. This is a sad story. This guy, 2 weeks in rural California, the family's hired a private investigator. Trinity County Sheriff's Office said Robert Jameson was visiting friends in the area of Burnt Ranch in near Redding, and he went missing on April 8th. They said that law enforcement conducted multiple search and rescue missions for him, but they haven't had any success. They said that they think he might have been using stimulants, but they also have concerns about that he may have had concerns about being tracked, and that's why he left his phone. And he left his phone, his vehicle, and his dog, and other personal items. So it does not sound like this dude's in his right mind. He had a young son. He was the primary carer for his mom in Florida. And so apparently his friends are flying out of Florida to go look for him, at least to try to bring him home or figure out what happened to him. But if he's out in rural California, I don't know. Like, if he's on drugs and he's out there in the elements, and I don't know. Redding's more north, though, but still, that's sad. And he's the only person that's caring for his mom right now. A Florida man faces federal charges in an onion cargo theft. All the things. This guy defrauded a wholesale produce company in multiple states, Idaho, Washington, Michigan, Texas, Georgia. The guy, 39 years old, arrested, charged with 8 counts of interstate transport of stolen property. So he's in big, bad trouble. This, I would feel like, why would you... I can't believe anybody would try to scam the Navy, anybody beyond the federal government. I can't believe it. But this Palm Beach Post has this headline. Just ready yourselves. How Jupiter owner of Pickle Rick fuel barge scammed the U.S. Navy out of $4.5 million in search of a fake name to hide his multi-million-dollar fraud. He looked no further than the pages of his old yearbook. This dude, this Jupiter businessman, sentenced to 5 years in prison, Jason Butler, he submitted fraudulent invoices to the Navy and the Coast Guard for canceled fuel orders. And this was between 2022 and 2024. And then he used the stolen funds to purchase 2 houses and, the Pickle Rick fuel barge. Sounds totally legit, right? Wow. Pickle Rick Fuel Barge, it was near Peanut Island. He made a fortune submitting these sham invoices. And he said he thought he was just exploiting poorly written government contracts. Well, that doesn't make it any less illegal, dude. I know, it's a Rick and Morty joke. But they don't say his age, but I'm like, this guy has to watch Rick and Morty. But I can't believe that it took them that long to find it, though. I mean, it's literally in all of you're the U.S. Navy, you're DOD, they watch everything else, but oh, Pickle Rick fuel barge, that's good. That's legit. This is what he told the court. He said, quote, "I figured out a loophole in the system. I tried to take advantage of it. I certainly recognize now that my business practices were unethical, but I never intended to harm anyone." He found a loophole in a government contract. So that meant it's the big government. So do you see now a theme emerging? Like with the whole thing with the Mangione case, right? And then with the woman talking about micro-leading Whole Foods and all of these people who think that if they dislike the person or the entity, that makes the sin that they're about to commit, it neutralizes it. That theirs is more virtuous. And by nature of being more virtuous, it's acceptable. And it changes the DNA of the offense. Do you see this? This is a very pervasive thought that's really slowly spreading. And I dare say that it's not really on the left anymore. I don't know if it's technically something that's held by anyone on the right, but by definitely people who pretend to be on the right. Just wild. So, oh my gosh, this is so... Woman driver. This one will make you sick. A Florida woman drove her lifted truck over a Lamborghini and didn't even notice. Her 3-ton Chevy Silverado. She was looking for a parking spot. And she drove right over it. And it was caught on video. There were no injuries, but she didn't know because her vehicle was so high. I was looking at this video and I thought, there's no, it looks like AI, but it's real short, but still, that's crazy. It was a big 3-ton Chevy Silverado, and she drove right the heck over this thing, and that's just, it's bad. It was a Lamborghini, what is it, Huracan? That's what it was. And a flat black, which is gorgeous. So their insurance companies are going to fight that out. But I wonder if she's going to have to get rid of her truck. That's just an insane thing. I would never do that. We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. Our partners that bring you the program, it's our friends over at Byrnagun, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrnagun. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And they do, I mean, this is a great option when your rights are restricted. Because, you know, these like local municipalities and private property, you know, if they restrict your Second Amendment rights and you still have to go there for work, etc., they never provide armed security to protect you. But so you cannot just gamble your security, especially in today's age. You need to have some means of protecting yourself, and this is where the Byrnagun comes in. The CL specifically, compact launcher, they have other variety, they have other models, but this is the only one for this purpose, really. It's the size of an iPhone. It, again, shooting the chemical irritant projectiles. But when you compare it to the taser or a stun gun that has one, maybe two shots in that, rounds in that, this has a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge with a CL. And so there's no recoil, easy target acquisition and reacquisition, and there's no background checks, no fees, no anything, no waiting period. You order it online, they send it right to your door. Great for college students, great for, you know, if you're restricted, because it's not a gun, so it doesn't care about gun-free zones. Ah-ha-ha. You can find it at Byrna.com/Dana, the Byrna C-L, Byrna.com/Dana, ready when you are.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It's not only a theft to the fire hydrant, but it's a theft to our citizens, our residents, our firefighters, and in public safety in general. It's totally unacceptable. Fire hydrants are a very important part of our infrastructure. And no matter how fast we get to a fire, if we don't have an operable fire hydrant, it takes seconds and even minutes away from us maybe saving lives.
The problem is whoever's doing this is doing multiple hydrants in a row. So when DFD shows up, they're not going to have a hydrant within 600 or 900 feet, which puts people's lives at risk.
I've never in my life have heard of anyone stealing a fire hydrant. In my life. This is in Detroit. Now, apparently, this is how fast. 48 hours, 75 hydrants stolen. Yes, you heard that correctly. Within 48 hours, 75 fire hydrants were stolen in Detroit. And thieves were stealing the metal nozzles and stems. They were just busting everything up, destroying everything around it. Local officials now have to tell the scrapyards they can't accept any of this stuff. The hydrants are worth about $500 each. But you heard when one of the community, one of the elected leaders in fire there in the video, what you heard them saying is that, well, the problem is it's a bunch in a row. It's not one here or there, which really one here or there is still a problem. That's not what he's saying, but it's a bunch all in a row. And so if you have a fire on a block, you may not have a hydrant anywhere within that. I mean, that, and people will die. So they're asking the community to find the suspects, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I cannot believe that we've had to beg. We now have to have the fire commissioner and others beg people to not steal the fire hydrants in Detroit. That is, I don't know, 75 hydrants in 48 hours. And those scrap, I mean, the only way that you're going to stop that is by issuing penalties if you have scrap yards that accept them. I don't know what needs to be done for that, but I just don't feel like that's going to do anything. How crazy. I mean, I don't know. In one comment to the press, one Detroit official told them instead of stealing hydrants to, quote, get a job. That's a lot. So yeah, anywhere from $500 to $600, and they steal the metal nozzles and the stems. So now they have all of these busted hydrants everywhere. Well, that's such a surprise for Detroit. So what happens when you have generational progressives that ruin your city, watching it happen in St. Louis. It's already done. St. Louis, just they made a mess, which is crazy because it is one of the most beautiful and walkable cities possible. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but you can't. Because leftism, there's really no law and order. And I lived in the city. I lived blocks from the stadium. But that's so sad to see. That is so crazy. You are hard up if you're stealing a fire hydrant. But I don't know. All right, folks. So I want to tell you about something that actually works. This is the world's number one expanding garden hose and their newest upgrade. It's the pocket hose. Ballistic. I like anything that has the word ballistic after it. I don't have time for cheap, stupid equipment that fails after one season. I am done fighting with it. I'm done with the kinks, Eric Swalwell. I'm done with the tangles. I'm done with the leaks. I'm done with all of it. It's a waste of money. It's enraging. So that's why the pocket hose ballistic, that's why you need to have this thing, because it's built different. I could beat somebody to death with this. It's reinforced with a liquid crystal polymer. Now, you don't know what that is, but you do know what it's been used in before. Bulletproof vests. So that means, my friends, the strength is real. Real durability, no nonsense. It's not going to mess up your garden. It's not going to like tie a knot around you. If you're tired of replacing your cheap hose every year, this is your fix. The ballistic is lightweight. It's super easy to handle. And I like what comes with it. It comes with the pocket pivot. So no more fighting the spigot. And ladies, it's gold. Where it moves, you move, you move, it moves. It's so simple. It's smart. You're done. For a limited time, when you purchase a new pocket hose ballistic, you're going to get that free, you see it right here, 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. Just text Dana to 64300. That's Dana to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, I just saw this. This is horrible that Kane sent in. So Ray Hartman, founder of the Riverfront Times, a big-time Donnybrook personality, just an institution in St. Louis. He was killed in a car crash caused but when two trucks came off a semi and hit his car. I knew him personally. I worked with him for a little while as a freelancer. And I will always say, obviously he and I agreed on little, but he never used that as an excuse to not be kind and never used it as an excuse to not include conservatives like myself on Donnybrook or in print. Because remember, when I first started out in politics, I was in my 20s, and he was encouraging, and he included me in stuff in St. Louis that I don't think I ever would have been able to access had he not done that. So that is really shocking. So our prayers are with the Hartman family. Ray Hartman, wow, dead now at, 73 years old. That's horrific. I know we have more, but I just saw that on break happen. Also, this headline, we have Amnesty International and rights groups that are issuing a World Cup travel advisory. There are all of these human rights groups saying that tournament visitors are facing rising authoritarianism and increasing violence in the United States. Spare me. Do you think they did that with Qatar, by the way? Or any Arab nation? I don't think so. A smoking ban announced for people born after 2008 in the UK. The government intends to rein in smoking. I didn't realize how popular it still was over there.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.